This is our calling. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. This is our calling. Our calling is to walk in the steps of the Savior. Stepping in the light, stepping in the light. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior. This year I did something I haven't done for all these years. I'm the world's worst. I love to start books. It's a little depressing. A few months ago, I got me some little stickers. And I have several thousand books in my library. And a bunch of digital books and so forth. And I started putting a red sticker on all the books that I read. Then I started putting a blue sticker on the ones I started and hadn't finished. And it's quite depressing, to be quite frank with you. But one of those books was the classic In His Steps by Charles Sheldon. How many of you are familiar with that book, In His Steps by Charles Sheldon? And that's a great book. But I had started it years ago and I just never did finish. And I said, I'm going to finish that book. And I finished the book and it so blessed my heart. And it's just a book about what would happen to God's people if in fact we truly did, with everything we did, say, now is this exactly what the Lord Jesus would want me to do in this situation? Is it what he would do? Is it what he would want me to do in this situation? It's a little story about how a whole community, a church and a community is transformed by that one simple thought. What can I do to be like Christ in this situation? And it's a beautiful story. It's a classic. And I can say now with confidence, you ought to read it because I finally read it. But anyway, I was just pondering that and meditating on that. How that we're saved. How many tonight you're saved? Amen. How many want to be like Jesus? Let's sing it again. To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, all I ask, to be like him. Matt, jump up here and sing a part. And help me with the words. From earth to glory, all I ask, to be like him. Come and put another part in here. Here we go. To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, all I ask, to be like him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, all I ask, to be like him.
Quit singing, did you? You're not supposed to quit singing. You're supposed to sing with us. All right, sing with us one more time, and let's think about what we're singing. That's what I want us to do tonight. I want to be like. How many of you want to be like Jesus? Sing it from your heart, and just sort of draw an imaginary circle around yourself. Sing it, and make it the desire of your heart to be like Jesus.
To be like Jesus. All I ask to be like him, all through life's journey, from earth to glory, all I ask to be like him.
Thank you all very, very much. I want to be like him. But you know, it's easier to sing about it than it is to do it, isn't it? Look what he says in our text here. We're called to follow his steps. But look at the verse right before it. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted? How many of you, life knocks you around a little bit? How many of you got bumped around a little bit this week? This last week you got knocked around a little bit. What glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? So here's a guy, and he got knocked around a little bit in life this week, but truth is he deserved it. And he says to himself, well, I deserve that. Maybe his boss chewed him out. He got buffeted. Anybody get chewed out by your boss this week? Don't raise your hand. How many of you should have been chewed out, but you weren't? All right, so if you got chewed out, yeah, you both could both raise your hands now. If you got chewed out, or maybe you weren't paying attention, you were driving and you inconvenienced somebody, you cut somebody off or something, they came by. People tell me those kinds of things happen. And and you say, well, I deserve that. I deserve that. Now, that's not being like Christ. That's not being like Christ. How many of you do dumb things once in a while? You do dumb things sometimes. All right. And so sometimes somebody gets on us, right? And we say, if we're humble, we say, well, I deserve that. But that's not yet being like Christ. Continue the verse of what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently. But if, when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. You know, if we're going to be more like Jesus, we have to be more patient, won't we? Have to be more patient. I mean, when we did well, when we did the right thing, maybe we're misunderstood. Or maybe somebody just, whatever, mistreated us. We didn't deserve it. Now there's a chance to be like Christ. The word patience in your New Testament means cheerful endurance. It means to go on in spite of mistreatment. I hope you get this tonight. I hope you'll pay attention. I'm not going to scream and shout and spit and holler and run up down the aisle. Not tonight. Not tonight. But I hope you'll listen on purpose. But if you want to be like Jesus, you have to learn to be patient when it wasn't your fault. Be patient when you didn't do anything wrong. Be patient when you did well. In verse 21 said, for even hereunto were ye called. This is our calling. Our calling is to exercise cheerful endurance when we get knocked around, even after having done well. When we get bumped around, buffeted, knocked around by this old world, by people, we'll be done well. Now, I'll just be honest with you. Sometimes I say to myself, I cannot believe you let that get to you. I'm not going to get specific because I don't want to embarrass Brother Hamilton. He gets on my nerves so bad. But anyway, I don't know if you ever feel like that or not, but I sometimes think, what? That should not have gotten to me. That should not have bothered me. I remember this years ago. We had that sweet, sweet time of revival for 5 weeks. And after a season of fasting and prayer, and I remember being convicted. And the girls, of course, that was 2000. That's a decade ago now. Good night. 10 years ago. So the girls were young. Olivia was 7. Stacy was 3 or 4. Anyway, but I remember getting convicted about the way I brushed the girls' hair. You know, when it's time to go somewhere, let's just get her done. Amen. It only takes me 5 minutes to get dressed. 2 minutes to do my hair, 5 minutes to get dressed. I'm out the door. Amen? So why is it taking them so long? So if I'm helping them, I'm so embarrassed to admit this, but it's true. Anyway, I'm, you know, all the girls all long hair. Amen? I've lived with long hair all my life. Amen? I can put on a shirt and feel something right there and start pulling it. There's long hairs everywhere in my life, long hairs. But it's time to get her done. And the Holy Spirit convicted. My girls are like, it's like torture. And I remember being so convicted how unthoughtful I was. Yanking my girls' hair, you know, trying to brush their hair. I wish I was more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you feel that way, but I wish I was. I wish I was more patient. I wish I didn't let things bother me. He says in verse number 22, talking about Christ, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. No duplicity in Christ. Jesus never said anything disingenuously. He said some things in jest to try to make a point. But he was always genuine in what he said. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he was mistreated, He did not use that as a ticket to mistreat the person who mistreated him. He didn't see that as a valid reason to return what was given to him. When he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. I'll knock your head off if you do that again. He never did that. He's the opposite of this world, this with all of its bravado, and 10, 11-year-old kids are being arrested in our cities. They knew nothing about the love of Christ, sadly. When he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. But here's what he did. What did he do when he's mistreated? Committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. He said, well, I just put that in the Father's hands. That's what he said. He got mistreated. He said, well, I'll just give that to the Lord. That's what that means. You want to be like Jesus? When somebody mistreats you? Somebody did you wrong? You say, well, I'll just give that to the Lord. I'll just give it to the Lord. Easier said than done, isn't it? Easier said than done. He said, verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. His own self bare our sins. That's exactly what he did for us. It was for our sins he suffered. He spoke of that cup in the Garden of Gethsemane. If it be possible, this cup, this the dregs of sin, the awfulness, the filth, the degradation, the disgust of sin, and he had to drink it. He who knew no sin had to become sin for us. And he said, God, Father, is there any other way? I can't do it. But if it's the only way, not my will, but thine be done. How many of you say, the Lord's been awfully patient with me? Yeah. Wouldn't you like to be more patient, church family? I would. If we're going to be like Jesus, we're going to have to be more patient. Tell you something else, we're going to have to be more consistent. We're going to have to be more consistent. I tell you what, sometimes I just do exactly what I'm supposed to do, exactly when I'm supposed to do it, and I do it exactly when I'm supposed to do it, and exactly what I'm supposed to do, exactly when I'm supposed to do it, until I don't. Have you ever been on a good streak, and man, feeling good about yourself, and then fall flat on your face? Amen. Alarm goes off in the morning, boom, you're up, walking with God, have a sweet time, tear-stained face, reading the Bible, getting something out of it. Man, you're just feeling so good about yourself. Man, 7 days in a row, day number eight, you slept through three alarms. Neighbor's house on fire, 15 different fire trucks and everything else. You wake up with a big wet spot on your pillow. You drooled half the morning away. The Bible said about the disciples, and they were the best three, Peter, James, and John. Their eyes were heavy. Remember, we talked about that last week. They didn't want to sleep through it, but they did. You know, if we're going to be more like Jesus, we have to be more consistent. Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord God, I change not. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Yesterday, today, and forever. You know what you ought to do? Young people, listen carefully. You ought to nail down some things in your life and just say, it's going to be a way of life for me. Going to be a way of life for me. I heard Ailey Penny say something to our young adults some years ago. We had a meeting for our young adults probably 3 or 4 years ago or something. He said this. He said, talking to the young adults, he said, young people, don't build your church life around work. Build your work around your church life. That's a great philosophy. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. Go back and read. That's Matthew 6:33. Go back about verse number 25 and read all the things he's talking about when he says these things. He said, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. He's not talking about boats and better houses and nicer cars. He's talking about food and raiment. And he said, if you got that, you have enough to be content. And he said, put me first and I'll make sure you get fed and have some clothes on your back. Amen. Listen. This world is teaching. You know why our kids are running off to get a so-called secular education, which has become social conditioning. Higher education in, I said I wasn't going to scream, I might just, anyway. Higher education, so-called, in this nation has become social conditioning. We're brainwashing young people so they fit into a Marxist society. Be good little citizens who don't speak out and don't believe the truth and don't speak the truth. Gender studies. Seriously? Hey, give me the exam. Amen? Just give me the final exam. Gender studies. Male, female. 100%. A plus. 4.0 grade average in that one. Somebody say amen. What? Huh? That's not an education. That's brainwashing. Now, young people, listen. You decide early on what's right, what you believe, and stick with it the rest of your life. Let's be consistent. I like what William Davis said to camp, Circle C camp, a couple summers ago. We took our kids over there. He's youth pastor at Clay's Mill. He said this, I like it. He said, young people, don't let your teen years be the most spiritual years of your life. And let me say this. If you're 19 or 20 or 21 or 22 or 23 or 4 or 5 or whatever, you ought to be closer to the Lord than you when you were 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. Somebody say amen. Yes, amen. You ought to be more faithful, more generous, more passionate about getting the gospel, closer to Jesus Christ, more in the Word, a deeper prayer life. Amen. Look, young people, I'm not demeaning you when I say this, but I'm going to say it. Your youth pastor and your parents cannot babysit you your whole life. We can't do it. That school out there, this youth department, it's not a perfect place, but we try to keep it right. We work at it. That man works at it every single day of his life. But some of you getting ready to graduate. You're going to graduate, you're going to walk across the platform. Then what? Just asking. Then what? We say, well, I got some new ideas. Well, let me say this to you. If you got you some new ideas, at least have the decency not to march yourself back onto school property and flaunt your rebellion against the things that were taught to you when you were young. And come in here and enlighten all the kids that are still trapped in the youth group, still living for Jesus, and show off your enlightenment now. Your new look, your new music, your new whatever. Why don't you get a little gratitude? Get a little gratitude. Figure out what you believe and stay with it. Jesus never changes. Always the same. You know it, sing it. Oh, praise His name. Jesus never changes. He's always the same, always together. His love is forever. Jesus never changes. He's always the same. It's a Ron Hamilton song, is with the Lord now. To be like Jesus, we'll have to be more patient. We'll have to be more consistent. Tell you something else, we'll have to be more kind. Luke 6:35 said this. This is remarkable to me. The Bible says of Jesus, He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Jesus is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. One of the most fascinating books I read last year, Miss Faye put in my hands. Virginia Prodan, a Romanian attorney. And she got saved. And I said, is that right, Virginia Prodan? Miss Faye, I think that's right. But she got saved. She got saved, and she was an attorney, and she had some principles, and her family had some principles, and she was pushing back against this communist philosophy that had invaded their country. And she was successful, extremely successful. And she began defending, especially people who were losing their religious freedoms. She became interested in that as a secular job. And one day she was just so frustrated, trying to do the right thing, and just more and more the country. And the leadership was pushing her against her. It seemed almost impossible to do the right thing. And she's in her office one day. There's a man there waiting to see her. And he inquired, he said, ma'am, you don't seem happy. He says, I'm not. I don't even know what I'm doing anymore. I want to quit. Throw it all in. He said, well, I can tell you how to have joy. She said, you seem to have joy. How do you have it? And he won her to Jesus Christ. She got saved. Started going to the underground church. Her life got transformed. She became more and more outspoken. And it made her a target of the communist regime. One day a man came in her office. It was at the close of the day. She was busy and some things up. And a man came in the office. And she said, sir, he said, I'm about ready to finish up here. And she's busy around the desk. And she turned around. There's a man standing in the doorway. And he closed the door behind her, behind himself. And all of a sudden it dawned on her. It's the end of the day. People have left the office. I'm the last one here. I'm by myself. And she said, it's finally here. This is the day of my assassination. The man sat down in a chair across from her. And she said, you've come to assassinate me, haven't you? He said, yes, I have. Let me get that for you. You've come to assassinate me, haven't you? He said, yes, I have. She said, well, you can go ahead and do that. I'm saved and going to heaven. But let me just tell you, well, I'm not afraid. And she began to witness that man. And she led her assassin to Christ in her office. That man's son is a pastor right now in Texas. The Bible said that Jesus was kind to the unthankful and the evil. The evil. Brother Russell, last Wednesday night, that's an amazing testimony, wasn't it? About that Satanist getting saved in prison and that serial killer getting saved in his office. Wasn't that something? Here's Brother Charlie Russell, 14 years at that institution, that prison, won a man to Christ in his office. Now, Jesus is kind to evil people. He said, I don't have to be kind. Man, he's plain evil. Jesus is kind to evil people. And this might be harder than being kind to evil people is being kind to unthankful people. Isn't it fun to be kind to thankful people? When somebody's grateful and thankful, don't you want to do more for them? You're like, man, I want to do something for that person. And by the way, kids, listen, if for no other reason in the world, you ought to be grateful because it'll get you more stuff. Amen. But it's easy to be kind to the thankful, but to be kind to the unthankful. Our flesh won't say, man, I don't appreciate it. Forget them. But Jesus is kind to the unthankful. To be like Jesus means to be more patient, more consistent, more kind. Means to be more compassionate. When's the last time you wept over sinners? And Jesus saw the multitudes. He was moved with compassion. He wept over the city, wept over Jerusalem. I had so much fun today sitting at the table. And let me be a little selfish here, please. But I was thinking, we went over here and got some to-go box from the Mayflyer and went home. And ate at home. And the girls came in from the bus route. And they tell me about this family. Tell about this little girl that got saved. And her mama came today and Took her mom to Sunday school and this little guy. And my heart just got swelled up. And by the way, you young people, let me just say this. Let me just implore you. And parents too now. You got to be wise, of course, I understand. But your kids need to be involved. They need to give themselves away. They need to give themselves away. Kids, you need to learn to give yourselves away. I don't think I would be in ministry right now. I would not have developed a heart for ministry if I hadn't learned as a teenager to love people. And they were talking about this little child and this little child on the bus and so forth. And their heart's going out to this one. And I started thinking about Tyreek and Pena and Duck and Tootie. These were my bus kids when I was a teenager. And I started thinking about those kids. And that changed my life. It made a difference in my life. Young people, you ought to get involved in somebody's life. Amen? You ought to give yourself away. And Jesus had compassion. If I'm going to be like him, I have to be more compassionate. Compassion is this. Is your hurt in my heart? That's what compassion is. I'm going to have to be more forgiving. Turn to Ephesians 4. It's familiar to you, I'm sure, but turn to it just the same. Ephesians chapter number 4. Verse number 29 said, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of thy mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying." Everything comes in out of our mouth ought to build somebody up. Amen? It ought to be good, beneficial, and it ought to edify, ought to build up. "That it may minister grace." Grace is undeserved favor. "Minister grace unto the hearers." That means you speak better to people than they speak to you. Amen? That's what it means. That's the command of God. You speak to people better than they speak to you. Amen? You speak of people better than they speak of you. Amen? Verse 30. "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, lest than that grieves the Spirit, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another." Remember Jesus on that cross? What did he say? Say it out loud with me. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." How about that? "Father, forgive them. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." I love that story Raji told us. There's a man had two wives, and I don't remember who heard the gospel first. I've told him the story and got the main points right, but I get a little mixed up, so give me some grace here. But anyway, man, two wives from Syria. Actually was from a neighboring country, but was on vacation in Syria. And they got a Bible. Bible was given to them. And Raji's mother led one of those ladies to Christ. And anyway, husband and both wives ended up getting saved. And the story that impacted that lady that brought her to Christ was when she read the story of the lady who was caught in adultery. And they drug her in front of Jesus and said, "This woman's caught in adultery. And the law says she's supposed to be executed. What say ye?" And the Bible says, start drawing in the sand. He said, "Well, fellas, you're right. That's what the law says. So I guess we'll go ahead and commence with the execution. And whichever one of you fellas is not guilty yourself, go ahead and start the execution. You go ahead and cast the first stone." And it got real quiet. And one of those ladies, she saw that verse. She heard that story. She began to weep. And she came to know Christ as her Savior. Amen. You remember the last time Raji was with us, he told us that man is now a martyr. Both those ladies got saved. I don't know how he fixed the home. I don't know what he did about that. I know when he got back home, he sold his home and used the proceeds to buy Bibles. I know that much. His life was transformed. And last time Raji was with us, told us he had been martyred. He's in heaven now. "Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Becoming Christ-like is a progressive experience. Ponder these verses for a moment. "For whom he did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. The doctrine of predestination culminates in becoming like Jesus Christ. It is our destiny as a Christian to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Romans 12 said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. That's a new way of thinking. Some of you here have been in the service tonight, not been saved that long. You come to church, you hear something, you're like, I never heard that before. Your life transformation, my life transformation, comes by the renewing of our mind, learning to think like God thinks about life, about family, about home, about child-rearing, about situations in our life, by the transformation of a life. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. A brand new way of thinking. Amen. It's a progress. Galatians 4:19, Paul said this, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. He's writing to folks he won to Christ. He said, I'm praying for you again. I'm weeping for you again. My heart's heavy like a woman in travail. He said, I travail in prayer for you again, that you'll be formed into the image of Christ. He wrote to the Philippians in chapter 3:21, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the work whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Fashioned like unto him. 1 Corinthians 13:12. Now we see through a glass darkly. Miss Hamp, will you come to the piano for me if you would please. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I'm known. Get your blue hymn book there. Turn to number 68 with me. Let me read the verse to you again. Number 68. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. You can start playing as soon as you get there. Number 68. 1 John 3:2 said it this way, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Sing with me. Face to face with Christ, my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold Him, Jesus Christ, who died for me. Face to face I shall behold Him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all His glory, I shall see Him by and by. 2 Corinthians said it this way, chapter 3, verse 18. But we all with open face, while she's playing, turn to it. I want you to see this verse. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Turn to it. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, that's a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Don't turn to it, but Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 7 says that you are changed when you put the iniquity right in your face and you look at it, your idol, the object of your worship, You become like that which you worship. You become like what you admire. You want to be like Jesus? Get your eyes on Him. Get your eyes off people. Get your eyes off the person who did you wrong or cut you off in traffic, the person that was dishonest towards you. Get your eyes off your circumstance. Get your eyes back on Jesus. Amen. Look at it again. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed. Are changed into the same image from glory to glory. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You ever look at somebody and they started smiling? And you're looking at them? And you just instinctively started smiling. You ever see somebody start chuckling, laughing, and you're watching over there and they're getting pushy and you go, I don't know what they're laughing about. I don't know what. Them people's funny. I don't even know what they're. You know, if you'll get your eyes on Jesus, amen, and see Him in all of His glory, this is how we're changed. I like this. You go home tonight, you look in the mirror. Let me say, preacher, when I look in the mirror, I don't see the same person that I used to be. Aren't you glad about that? Not what I ought to be, not what I'm going to be. Thank God I'm not what I was. That's this verse in action. Amen. Through the power of the Holy Spirit and God's Word, we get our eyes on Him. We get our eyes on this book in Christ. We see Him in this book and we become like Him. We start looking like Him. Amen. And people begin to see Jesus in us. Sing the next verse there with me. Verse number 2. We're in page 68. I got you going back and forth. Just keep them both open. Amen. Page number 68 on the second verse. Only faintly now I see Him with the darkling veil between. But a blessed day is coming when His glory shall be seen. Face to face I shall behold Him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all His glory I shall see Him by and by. 2 Corinthians 3:18. With open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, we're changed. We're changed. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. Turn over there. We're just about to the Lord's Supper. Amen. We're getting to the Lord's Supper. And no, there's not another sermon after the Lord's Supper. Don't you worry. Hebrews chapter 12. Miss Hamilton, go ahead and turn over there to 160. Number 160. You start playing that here when we finish this text. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience. There it is again, cheerful endurance, the race that is set before us. How do we do that? Verse 2. Read the next three words out loud with me. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You want to run worthy. You want to finish your race. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Number 160. Let's sing it together. Number 160. In your blue hymn. But we're done with our Bibles. You can close your Bible. Set it down now. You want to be more like Jesus, you're going to have to get your eyes off mankind. You're going to have to get your eyes off of circumstances. You're going to have to get your eyes off your pain. You're going to have to get your eyes off your injustice. Listen, you don't have to think about that all day, every day. You don't have to. Think on these things, the Bible says. You don't have to. You get stuck in a bad place and you get that bad taste back in your mouth and you're thinking about it and you're mistreated. Look to Jesus. Amen. Get your eyes on Him. consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners. The verses that follow in our text in Hebrews say, get your eyes on the cross. That's what we're going to do in just a moment. Sing with me, number 160. Oh soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strange. Miss Hamilton, just soft as you can. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I mean, just be honest. You're a Christian. You're saying you're born again. You're on your way to heaven. Just be honest with the Lord for just a moment. And you'd say, Pastor, before God, I need to keep my eyes on the Lord. I get irritated. I get impatient. I'm not consistent. I'm not very kind sometimes. I don't have the compassion beating in my breast like I wish I did. I struggle to forgive. But I want my eyes on Him. I want to become more like Him. I want to keep my mind and heart focused on Him. And that's my desire tonight. That's my desire tonight. My hand's up. Is your hand up? You say, that's what I want tonight. That's what I want tonight. Keep my eyes on Him. Father, make us more like Thy darling Son. Forgive us, Lord. We get our minds and our thoughts focused on how people treat us, what they say, and what they do, and what they don't do, and somebody failed us. And help us learn to be more like Thee. You are altogether lovely. You've never failed us one time. By gazing upon Thee, we become more like Thee. Turn our eyes upon Thee tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Miss Cecily. You can look this way if you would, please. Thank you. Jesus said to His disciples on that fateful night, take this bread and eat it. It's my body which is broken for you. Take this cup. It's the New Testament in my blood which is shed for you. And do it in remembrance of me. When we take the unleavened bread, representing the sinless body of our Savior, and we drink the unfermented juice, representing His sinless blood, we are looking at a portrait of Calvary. And tonight, as we finish this service with the Lord's Supper, turn your eyes upon Jesus. See Him suffering for you. See His blood shed. Admire Him. Thank Him. If you want to thank Him, make sure your heart's right with Him. You want to worship Him a little bit tonight? You want to love on Him a bit tonight? Make sure there's nothing in there. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord won't hear me. Make sure your heart's right with Him. And if you need to do some business, the great thing is, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Amen. You don't have to go to a priest. You don't have to go to, you can go to altar if you want to. This altar is always open, by the way. From the opening note of the service to the closing note. And after the service, the altar is always open. You come on if you want to. But you know, you can do that and you seek to. You can be right with the Lord. Amen. And this is a time of self-examination. 1 Corinthians 11 teaches us that. Therefore, let a man examine himself. Look inside a little bit and say, Lord, I need your help. I'm at fault. Confess your faults. I'm at fault. I need your help. I want to be more like you. I'm going to pray and then the men will come and serve the bread and the juice. Father, thank you for giving your precious Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Tonight, Lord, we just think about His character a little while. We fall woefully short to be like Christ. Help us tonight. Lord Jesus, now we focus our minds and hearts on you and all you went through at Calvary for us. What a wonderful Savior you are. Thank you for shedding your blood. Thank you for the beating and the mocking, the crown of thorns. They spit in your face, blindfolded you, smote you. You did all that for us. Thank you. Help us to learn to forgive as you forgive. To be patient as you've been patient. To be kind as you've been kind. Help us to that end in Jesus' name. Amen. She'll continue.